I'm not going to get a job. Like, I'm not going to be like other people. I'm not going to be in debt. I'm not going to be working for 40 years in a desk in a job I hate. I'm not going to do any of that. I didn't know how. I just knew, like, no, I have higher standards for my life and I'm going to be independent.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. My guest on today's program is Shay Rowbottom, and she is the Chief Operating Officer and co-founder of Margle Media. That is a very stuffy corporate title, and possibly why it gets abbreviated to COO. If Shay is anything, you could never call her stuffy. Bubbly, perhaps. Margle Media is a social media marketing startup based in Milwaukee. I'm sorry, that was a bit English. I don't know. They specialize in viral video creation, and the company distributes around 2,000 videos a month, and they now average over 1 billion monthly views on that content. It is a staggering number of social media views and shows what is possible with creativity and know-how. But life, passion, and business is not about me getting geeky on the marketing stuff. It is about the people behind the project and what drives them. Shay started to appear on my LinkedIn feed about 3 months ago, and it was her videos that inspired me. She's a regular contributor to the platform, making video on a weekly basis. And while her business is video, these videos are nothing to do with business. They're about life. They're about how she feels about things. They're about depression. They're about touchy-feely subjects that all human beings experience and know about, but don't necessarily want to talk about. I was inspired to reach out to this woman because she is so raw and real in these videos, and I wonder what that was about. Where was it coming from, and how did she find it so easy to express it publicly? Shay's story started with dropping out of college to pursue a music career. But after years of struggling to make it, she was dissatisfied and looking for a change. An opportunity arrived to learn viral video editing for large blogs on Facebook. It was where she met her life and business partner, Luke Marlowe. Together they started Margle Media from the bedroom at home in downtown Milwaukee in spring 2016. Since then, he has scaled and is employing over 30 people and services companies like Petco and MGM. They provide social media marketing campaigns and daily video content for social media pages. And as said above, they distribute over 2,000 videos a month and get an average of 1 billion views on that content. Shay is a product of the internet generation. She exudes confidence, but there is a vulnerability. Where does it come from, and what is it that's driving this young woman to create video and be out there doing what she does? I hope you enjoy the conversation with Shay Rowbottom. So welcome to Life, Passion, and Business. And today I am delighted to be speaking to Shay Rowbottom. And I know she is a video girl. She does loads of videos on LinkedIn, and that's how I met her. I just looked at this person on LinkedIn, and I have got to speak to her. And when I reached out, she said yes, which is just wonderful. So Shay, thank you. Welcome to the program. Yay.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for the kind intro.
As I said to you before, I do a bigger intro when I get to know you more, so we can actually kind of dig into the details. So tell me, Shay, I know a little bit about you. I know you do viral video. I know you had a singing career or looking for a singing career at some stage. I did do my research. And, you know, and I just like, how did you get to where you are now? What was the journey for you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so to not ramble forever, but basically I dropped out of college when I was about 20. I started to pursue my longtime dream of being in entertainment. I wanted to be a singer. I kind of gravitated towards rap and towards hip hop because I wasn't the best singer. I didn't really have any classical training. I was really good at writing lyrics and composing songs, but didn't necessarily know traditionally how to sing classically. So, and I wasn't bad either. I mean, I'm a decent singer. I made it through the first round of American Idol. So, but
that has to be a claim to fame a little bit.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. So I dropped out of school, decided, you know what, I'm going to just give this a shot. I'm going to try it. I didn't have a ton of support, so I was really just blindly like going after it, you know, doing like local PR for myself. I was getting some shows. I put my own music up online. I had like, you know, everything available on the different channels, Spotify, iTunes, all that. And then I ended up meeting my life and business partner today, Luke Marlowe. So Luke is a video genius. He taught himself how to use video and how to edit when he was very young. Just total like entrepreneur, blood, sweat, and tears, like total personality for it. So I actually hired him to shoot a music video for me. And we really hit it off. We became good friends right away. We knew we wanted to work together on a number of projects. And then it kind of just sparked a romance, which is great. And around that same time, you know, he offered to teach me how to edit because he needed help with his workload. And, yeah, you know, me just not being totally fulfilled with how I was progressing in the music industry, feeling like, okay, I've been at this for a couple of years now. I'm really not making any headway. Maybe I should try something else. He got an opportunity to learn how to edit viral videos for large Facebook pages. And I thought it was a really good opportunity. I'd heard about all these page owners just making tons of passive income online. I was like, I want to do that. So I really put music on the back burner to help Luke and to learn editing and to build this, what we now have today, which is essentially a social media marketing agency.
I see on your LinkedIn profile, you've got 1 billion views. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, so we curate trending content, whatever we think is a good story that's going to go viral, that'll be good for our page's audiences. We obtain a license to use that, and then we edit it in a very specific style that catches people's attention right away online. Chances are, if you're on Facebook, you've engaged with or shared one of our videos. I mean, it's like very likely at this point, because we've released so many, like we sell thousands a month. They accumulate hundreds of thousands, millions of views on each piece. So yeah, cumulatively about 1 billion views a month on, that's like the sum total of all of the views we achieve for our clients. Wow. Yeah, so I mean, it was a hard road. It was really hard for me to like give up music and put it on the back burner, but I know it was the right choice. I learned so much more about marketing through starting a business, more than I ever knew when I was trying to be an artist, ironically. Yeah. And I also learned how to edit, and being an editor is also, you know, a form of creativity. So that was really fun too.
Yeah, I find that one, in terms of my own stuff I do, is that I do wonder how you can release stuff to an editor. Because I created that and I had a vision for it. If I give it to an editor, it becomes their vision.
Yeah. I mean, like, yes and no. I've had to really let go of that control too, because I can't, you know, run a company and keep up with editing all of my own pieces of content. So there is, I feel your pain there. Like, there's a bit of a struggle where it's kind of like, oh, I would have done it this way. But 80-20 rule, like, you just got to get stuff done. You got to get it done. So, yeah. And I have a great team of editors. They're good listeners.
So, this podcast is all, you know, we're called Life, Passion, and Business because it's all about how you bring the essence of you, your life, and that passion, that joy into your business. Mm-hmm. Now, clearly you had this idea of music and that's where it was all heading, and now you've changed direction into video. So how does it manifest itself in your videos?
Yeah, so I mean, it does appear like I've changed directions, but my ultimate goal is to get back to entertainment. Ironically, it might not appear that way right now because I run a digital agency and the content I release is not musical or extremely artistic at this point in time. But I found a niche. You know, I found that just speaking my mind, talking about the struggles of being a business owner, being a college dropout, having to learn a lot of things for myself, people really resonate with that, especially on the LinkedIn platform. I'm not sure how they would have responded had I just like came out and like, I'm here to do music again. You know, it doesn't really get people's attention off the bat. So I would say it's all related. It's all coming around. You know, I'm gaining knowledge and experience in marketing and business I never had when I was a solo artist and trying to make it on my own. And simultaneously, I'm getting back into content creation through my own videos. And I will be working my way back to, you know, I have like some poems coming out. I haven't actually recorded a song yet, but I have some tricks up my sleeve. So we'll see, you know, how the journey pans out. But I do know that it's kind of taken me back there where I always wanted in the first place.
What attracted me to this conversation, I think, is because I've seen you on LinkedIn. I've been following you for a while on LinkedIn. Okay. And your videos are not about business. They're about life.
They're about life.
They're about how you feel. They're about emotions. They're about mental health. They're about the things that people don't want to talk about.
Oh yes. So many emotions. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you find that easy to do?
Yeah. So I mean, like, that's something I kind of get told a lot is like, oh, you're so brave. You talk about things that like, oh, I could never open up about that. Or I could, you know, it's funny because I don't really particularly feel brave. Not that I don't appreciate the compliments, but, people say that to me. They're like, you're so like, how do you muster up the courage to do this? It's like, I'm like, what? Like, you know, I think I was kind of suppressed growing up from being able to express these like really raw and like sometimes even uncomfortable or controversial thoughts that it threw me so much in the other direction of just wanting to be free and wanting to be open and having an audience that is comfortable with me opening up. So people say I'm brave. I say I'm just actually doing what's very liberating for me, which is to finally get all these things off my chest that I feel like I've had to hold in for so many years.
But what is interesting about your presentation style is that although you are talking about some quite raw things for you, you do it in such a quirky, comical way.
Yeah.
So it's like some of the stuff you think, shit, she just said that. And it's like, and it's like what you said is actually quite like, let's get that cuts. And yet you say it in a way that's like, you know, it's like, oh, well, that happened. You know, you say it. And I can't think of an example, that's what gets me. They're like, oh, okay. That's interesting.
Right.
Now, is that because you are not really engaging with it? You're kind of surfacing it how is that done?
Well, I think it has more to do with trying to normalize it for people. Okay. You know, I think if I present it in a really heavy way that makes people feel like, oh, this is so rare or bad, or this is a big deal. It's like, it perpetuates that belief that like, we shouldn't really talk about these things, you know, but if I really make light of it, make a joke about it, make it like, this is my experience. How many people also experience this? Like, I find that it's easier for the audience to then also feel comfortable opening up about their own experience. Like, oh yeah, me too. Whereas if I put so much, if I make it out to be such a big deal, then other people who've also felt that way or experienced that will also feel like it's too big of a deal for them to come forward. So I try to just normalize that.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. It's interesting. So was this always a big dream? Are you heading to the big dream? Is this kind of like the big dream?
I'm heading to the big dream, Paul. Yes.
Is this the big vision for you? Are you striving towards a big vision as such?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously right now my focus is still very much on growing my business.
Yeah.
So I can only allocate so much time to growing my own personal brand, but they kind of go hand in hand. The bigger my personal brand gets, the more leads come to the business. So I don't really think anyone's complaining there.
No.
But obviously the goal is independence. I would, you know, eventually like to exit from running such a big agency and kind of focus more on my solo career, my speaking career. I plan to be an author. I want to write a lot of books. And, you know, ultimately leading back towards, like I touched on earlier, that sort of entertainment life, not even necessarily just music, but I definitely see myself in the future having my own show, my own talk. I always say, I want to be like Ellen. I'm the next Ellen.
Good one.
I love Ellen. You know, I can see me kind of ending up in a similar situation like that.
Yeah. I can see that. It's nice to have like something to aim at like that, isn't it, really?
Exactly. You know, and I think one thing that really strikes me about her is that she's always doing things to make people feel good. Like, she's always doing these charitable acts. Like, this single mom in Kentucky totally deserves this grand prize of 50 grand for her son's college, or like whatever, you know, like, just it's so heartwarming and inspiring. And I think the world needs more of that. I'm not saying my show would be all feel good. I definitely talk about the real stuff, but you know, like, I really admire her for that. And I think that's like really important to have that sort of influence on a community.
So how does this feel different from when you were growing up? Do you feel as though this is where you expected to be?
Oh man, I mean, that's kind of a loaded question. Who knows where they're going to be when they're a kid?
I think, of course not. But yeah, some people do. Some people have a real clear picture where they're heading.
Yeah. I think I do. I was a very ambitious kid. I mean, very ambitious. Just from the time I was a small child, I was very outspoken, very flamboyant. You know, I've always been in entertainment. When I was little, like, I was like the life of the party. I put on shows. I made all my friends be in a play that I'd written. Like, I was very, very motivated and very ambitious. And I think that my family was actually like, not, they almost like frowned upon that. They almost kind of like hit me with the, and this is common, but you know, they kind of hit me with the, like, that's not realistic. You got to get a job. You got to get all. And I was very like, no, I'm not going to get a job. Like, I'm not going to be like other people. I'm not going to be in debt. I'm not going to be working for 40 years in a desk in a job I hate. I'm not going to do any of that. I didn't know how. I just knew, like, no, I have higher standards for my life and I'm going to be independent. And I wanted to be a musician. You know, back then I was so young, I just thought, I'll become Britney Spears and I'll be fine, you know? But it really did manifest into something else, which is I learned how to make money online. I learned how to provide video content for blogs and publishers that needed to feed their audience. And I learned like all this new age marketing that I had no idea I would stumble upon, but it's very necessary if you want to grow in essentially any field in 2018. So I would say yes and no. I would say yes in that I am the independent go-getter I always planned to be, but I would say no in that, you know, the music career didn't exactly pan out for me and I'm not Britney Spears right now.
It's interesting because you touch on my next question in a way. It's like, you know, I mean, I'm of the generation that was sold the success story.
Okay.
I don't think you're quite of that generation, and I wouldn't ask how old you are, but you're significantly younger than I am.
Yeah, no, I'm 26.
Yeah, you're half my age.
That's less okay.
Half my age.
We can be great friends, Paul.
We can be great friends. It's all good. Yes. It's all good. But yes. I was sold the story of study hard, work hard, get exams, go out, get a good job, find a partner, settle down, have children, buy the house, and you can retire. And that's what I was sold. And I think your generation has the advantage that no one believes that anymore.
Yeah. No, thank you for framing it like that. It is an advantage.
So what is your definition of success?
Independence, freedom, being able to influence others, being able to create. I love creativity. I'm very much at my core an artist, you know, not just like with the videos I create, but I write poetry, I write songs. I used to be a painter. I always joke that it's like if a tree falls in a forest, no one's around, do they hear it? If I create something, but there's like no audience to appreciate it, does it exist? You know? So it's kind of always equally for me been about the creation process, which is very fulfilling, but also getting an audience to engage with that process and to appreciate whatever it is I've created is equally important to me. And I'll admit that. I know not everyone likes attention. That's fine. But it is a driver for me. It is a motivator for me. So my idea of success is building my own brand, my own following, and getting that attention, but in turn it not just being like a vain, hollow attention, but I'm actually providing something here. I'm actually adding value to these people's lives is my version of success.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's interesting to touch on the art thing, because it's like that is a really interesting topic about art, because obviously we're all an artist on some level. We all create something.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're all born artists.
We do. I mean, we all create. People may like, oh, I'm not an artist. You are. You are an artist somewhere.
Yes.
You do. I mean, whether it be creating food on the table or something else. And of course, if you're an artist creating food, the family still has to eat it. But the question is, like, the actual creative art, when you start having things lying around that you've created, it's like, how do you judge what to do with those things? It's a quite an interesting challenge you point out. It's like, as you say, does it exist and no one sees it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. You know, like, I respect that there's different personalities out there who maybe just the creation of it is it, and they're fine. And like, that's fulfilling to them. That's it. It could sit in the closet. They don't, you know, I speak personally when I say, for me, I need someone to see what I've made. Otherwise it's like, it's useless. You know,
I have a bit of a running joke here because where I live, there always seems to be, whenever I go to a craft fair, there's always seems to be some old guy in the corner who's been turning wooden bowls.
Yeah. Yeah, you
know, and I kind of get to think there must be this thing that kind of overtakes them at somewhere. There's the world needs more wooden bowls, because you wonder what everyone does with these things, because they turn a few wooden bowls and they start to take over the house. They end up doing craft fairs to get rid of them all. Anyway,
that's hilarious.
It's just a bit daft. So look, you know, it's interesting. You've got this journey where you're on, and so where is, you know, do you have a 5-year or 10-year plan? Is there a particular plan that you're going to say, right, that's it?
I have a 4-year plan. Because it's four years until my 30th birthday. Uh-huh. But I definitely my plan is to eventually exit Margot Media, the company I founded. And from there, I would like to invest in building my own brand. I said, kind of focused on building that following of people who are also hungry, also interested in real shit, real content, who are interested in personal development, growth, and just like alternative ways of living and thinking. I think, you know, whenever there's like a trend following the crowd this way, I become more skeptical in those cases. I always try to challenge to go the other way. Well, like, hey, what are we missing here? This is what everyone's doing. What if I did it this way? And I also encourage my followers to think that way. So I want to build that up. I want to really get on a speaking tour in that I love public speaking. So I obviously, you know, I like being on stage. I'm really quite a good writer, not just musically, but I write speeches. Like, I gave the commencement speech at my high school graduation, stuff like that. So I do really look forward to getting on the speaking circuit. I think I have a ton of value to provide there. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write multiple books, and I'm going to have a show, much like you, Paul. So I look forward to all those things.
So do you have any processes or routines that you do to keep yourself healthy and moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. So I don't know if you saw this, but I actually released a LinkedIn video a while back about curing my asthma. So I struggled with breathing. Yeah. And that's a very hard, it's just a terrible thing for anyone to deal with. I wouldn't wish the feeling of not being able to breathe on anyone, but it's especially hard when you're a singer and you're trying to control your breath. So it held me back in music. It, I had to cancel shows because of it. Sometimes I had horrible asthma for many years, and it just crippled me. And I actually cured it. And I cured it through doing breathing exercises every single morning when I wake up. So fancy that. Very simple solution.
I have heard this years ago about this.
So, you know, it's kind of sad how so many Western doctors that I saw over the years never, you know, I mean, you could argue that it was fairly obvious, Shay. Why couldn't you think of that on your own or get into meditation and yoga? Whoop-de-doo. But, you know, I was fed a lot of inhalers. I was given steroids multiple times. You know, these doctors were just, and these inhalers were expensive. I mean, I paid a couple $100 a month just for my medication.
Wow.
So think about all the money I've saved too, right? So I finally decided to go visit an alternative doctor, and she's an Indian woman. And she, what's it called? Ayurvedic medicine.
Yeah.
So very, and she actually was an MD, but she decided to leave because she didn't agree with, you know, the heavy doses of opiates that they were like forced to prescribe people and stuff like that. So very bold woman. I respect her greatly. And I went and saw her, and she said, this is what you need to do every morning. She laid it out for me. It's like a 4-7-8 breathing exercise where you inhale for 4 seconds, hold it for 7, and exhale for 8. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Eventually, I think it was like literally like 3 weeks into doing this routine, my asthma just completely subsided and I haven't used my inhaler since. And that was almost 2 years ago.
So you do it every day, this routine?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you say that, cause like I try to do it every day, but I don't even need to do it every day anymore. Cause it's like, it's gone. I just needed to like reteach myself how to breathe, to breathe from the tummy. You know, a lot of us we're taught to do like chest breathing, like, yeah. That's wrong. So I think it was like actually quite mechanical. I switched up my diet a lot. You know, I stopped eating like gluten and sugar and dairy and just cleaned up my whole act. And I really try and just maintain that. Like I said, I won't lie. I definitely miss some meditation in the morning some days. But overall, I found that has had a huge impact on my breath in my life. Yeah.
What I find, and I was talking about this today actually to another entrepreneur today, is that I find as an entrepreneur that my mindset goes up in a spiral and down in a spiral. And there's no set point on the spiral. And so I have to have strong morning routines to keep the spiral heading in the upwards direction.
Oh, okay.
Because if I don't, I can easily find myself, something can hit me in the day and it takes me down. Mm-hmm. And then if I allow it, I can start sinking, and then I get
Well, and that's the other thing you said the words, something can happen that can bring me down, which is another thing that I've learned. It's a lot easier to deal with stress and stressful situations that come your way throughout the workday actually when you breathe every morning. So like when I meditate every morning and do the breathing routine, and then I go to work and like some shit hits the fan and like there's some stressful fires I got to put out, I am way more able to, I'm way less reactive when I've like breathed that morning, when I've done my meditation. I find that very fascinating. Like for anyone who feels like they're triggered easily or they just get stressed out and their mood flips so quickly, dude, meditation. Like there's apps out there to get you started. I know it can be hard when you're like a crazy career person to like center and like focus, but like meditation all day, man, it really helps with those stressful times.
I think the safety thing I've got to realize as I'm now 55. Yeah, I'm 55. What I've got to realize,
congratulations.
What I realize is it's all a story. Everything's
it's all a story.
Everything's a story.
That's cool.
And it's just a story. And it's just like, and you hear someone going off, it's just a story. Get off the story and you'll be fine, you know?
Right. Like everything in existence right now, everything that we're a part of, like will be carried on through story long after we're even here, which is kind of.
Well, how many times has something happened that you've got all hyped up about, got all got frustrated about, and then afterwards it's dead and no one remembers it? And you think, what happened there then?
Yeah.
What was all the fuss about? You know,
it's actually really liberating to get to that point in your life where you've noticed that happens so many times. Where you're like, what was I so upset about last year, last month, last week? And then it eventually hits you like real time, like, this stress I'm experiencing right now, it's not even real. Cause in a couple months from now, I'm going to look back and laugh about it. Like, why was I so stressed out? That was nothing.
I think the most amazing conversation I was in a few months ago, I went to an event where there was a cosmologist talking.
Ooh.
And she was saying that from research, we can tell you that when you look at matter, it's 99.999% no thing.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
And what's left is a series of vibrations and energies that are governed by the laws of physics.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything is made of that, we're literally just a projection.
right. And I think there's another cool statistic. I'm gonna kind of butcher it right now. I'll try and articulate it. Where like, it's something about like everything in existence, like all of the molecules and wavelengths and everything passing through. Now, like actually, the human eye only has access to visibly be able to see like 1% of like what's at, like there could literally just be like a freaking, what do they call them, reptilian in front of me right now, and I can't see it because like the human brain is limited and we forget that, like you can't see all the, like you ever have like your pet, do you have a dog or a cat?
I used to have cats, not anymore.
Like did you ever like feel like your cat like saw a ghost and you were like, what are you doing?
What are you looking at?
Yeah, exactly. It's like there, I truly believe there's like things going on we can't see. And unless, you know, you take a nice dose of hallucinogenics, that'll usually be the trick. But nonetheless, it is fascinating to think about.
It is, isn't it? When you think about there are other, I mean, obviously we accept the world as we see it. And yes, of course, everything, there's the thing, everything that we see, our brain sorts out. So we actually don't see anything in real time. We see it a little bit past when it actually happened.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Now, light and sound travel at different speeds.
Yes, that's true.
But when we look at someone speaking, the lips and the sound is in sync.
Mm.
And the brain must have sorted that out.
That is true.
It is, isn't it? And when I heard that, I went, oh yeah, of course.
So the brain, is it just because like you're so close, you're in such close range of that person that the distance in the light and the sound hitting you is not that great? So we adapt to it.
We adapt to it. There will be a difference though. There will be a slight difference, very tiny though, I thought.
Yeah.
As you say, not a lot.
Yeah.
So look, I got to the point, this is the point in the show where I ask you this question. And the question is really, is there anything that I should have asked you that I haven't?
Oh, wow. That's quite the question. I don't know. It's your job to provide the questions, Paul. I could think of something.
It possibly is, but what would you want to tell, people if, as the speaker that you are?
I would want you to ask me how I overcome fear, because fear is a motivator for a lot of people. How do I overcome fear in order to progress in my plans and ultimately reach my goals?
Good question. Wish I thought of it.
There you go.
So all how right. do you overcome fear, Shay?
Yes. Okay. So a couple of things. I won't lie, I've definitely been motivated and driven by fear in my life. I'm not going to ever sit here and act like I'm just totally enlightened and can follow my heart without any, you know, getting in my own way. It's not true. Like, I've definitely gotten in my own way. And I think fear held me back for a long time in terms of just trying to go after my music career, trying to start my own business, that sort of thing. So here's what it comes down to is, one, you can follow the fear, which I've done, like I have experience with this, but you will inevitably hit a breaking point if you go down that road where you follow the fear, because inevitably you will be so miserable at one point in time, having been led by this fear, you kind of snap and you kind of wake up and realize like, I've had it, I'm doing this. You know, that's kind of like, I feel like I kind of got to that point, like in college, for example, when I like wasn't pursuing music. I knew I wanted to do it since I was a little girl, but I was like, no, I'll get a degree, I'll do the cookie cutter life, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, you're just miserable, like semester after semester, lecture, and like, you just snap. You're like, you know, I'm sick of being driven by fear. I'm sick of this. Like, I don't care if I get laughed at by every single person on the planet. I'm getting on that stage and I'm performing a song. I'm doing it. So if you are in that fear state right now and you find yourself in that place where you're really like, I'm controlled by fear. I can't do it. I'm scared. I'm going to fail. I'm scared of what people think. I would honestly just tell you to chill, because I guarantee you, you're going to hit a breaking point and it's going to flip for you. And you're going to realize, you know what? All this fear is not worth it. I'm going to go for my dreams. Or on the very dark flip side, you end up like in a miserable vegetative state as a human. And this is like literally what drives people to suicide. I mean, why do successful businessmen in their 50s all of a sudden are found dead by their family? It's like, because they like were first, they hit that breaking point, and instead of turning around like, you know what, I am going to follow my dreams, I'm not going to be driven by fear, they gave up and they tapped out. And that's really sad, and I don't want anyone to ever reach that dark place. So that's why I'm saying, now don't be driven by fear, or if you are driven by fear, there's a good chance you're going to hit a breaking point and it's all going to turn around for you anyways. Now if you're more ambitious and you're like, okay, I'm kind of driven by fear, but I feel like I can do this. I got some fire in me. I'm ready to go. Then I would urge you to remind yourself of death, because I think as humans, we almost kind of, not all of us, but a lot of us kind of tend to think we're immortal. Like we'll live, we have all the time in the world, especially if you're in your 20s, you tend to be like, oh, I'm going to just go out again this Friday, go party. Yeah, whatever. Like time in the world. Like, no. Your time is limited, and what you invest in today is going to have an impact of where you actually see yourself sitting in 10 years. So use death as a motivator. Hey, you're afraid of people laughing at you because of this business you want to start, thing you want to do. Hey, guess what? They're going to die too. So who really cares in 100 years, who's going to be laughing at you? Like, you're going to wish you did what you wanted. And I think that there's a very shallow happiness that comes from living for others. You might feel like you're doing the right thing by like, oh, well, my mom wanted me to be a nurse, so I'm going to be a nurse. Like, it might almost kind of feel fulfilling in the beginning, but I guarantee you at the end of the day, if you would have just kind of like let your mom down and slightly dissed her and been like, no, you know what, I want to be a mechanic, whatever. That fulfillment you feel from doing what you truly want and living life in your own image instead of hers will greatly impact your mental health for the rest of your life. Yeah. So end rant, I'm done. But basically those are a couple routes you can take with being held back from fear. I think that a lot of people just need to realize in their own time that like, hey, this is not worth it for me anymore.
Yeah, I think the book that on fear for me was Susan Jaffer's book, which was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
What is it? I'm going to write it down.
Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Ooh, I like that.
It's Susan Jaffer, I think her name is. It's a lovely book about the story of fear.
That title like says it all. Like, because even when you reach these breaking points, you don't necessarily, it's not like you're void of fear. You're just learning to work through the fear, which I think, I'm guessing she gets at it in this book, which is very powerful.
It does. It's a powerful book, actually.
Good. Thanks for the recommendation, Paul.
So here's the question. Now, I appreciate in your tender years, you may not have an answer for this question. But
oh, boy. Try me.
For you, at the gentle age that you are,
so gentle and tender.
We come to this earth, we grow up, we have families, children, we do all the things that we do, and then we leave. Mm-hmm. What's it all for? What's the meaning of life?
Oh my God. I mean, like, it's so funny. The like nihilist in me is just like inclined to say nothing. I mean, like, I don't know. Okay, so here's actually what I will tell you, because this is my experience.
It's your view of it at this point, and it probably will change, but so what's your view now?
So yeah, this is what I believe, and this is a little bit of what I've studied is I am quite actually fascinated by death, and I'm quite fascinated by the idea of reincarnation. So I've read quite a few books on death, on reincarnation, different people who've, you know, dedicated their lives to studying death and, you know, the rare accounts of people who come back from death and what do they experience and keeping all that documentation. And there's a really great book. It's called, what's it called? The Fun of Dying. The Fun of Dying. I forget the author, but look it up. It's a phenomenal book, and it essentially talks about this place we go to when we die, which many could, you know, relate to heaven or whatever you believe. But I actually believe that we live multiple lives, and I think I am a very old soul. I have a hard time believing that this is really my first time here. I just think there's different moments we come across in life where we kind of feel the wiser and we don't know why. And when I'm like, why do I know this? Why do I have this gut feeling? You've experienced it before. Like, there's something so real about this idea of living multiple lives. And I think we continue through these different lives, and we decide to keep returning to Earth in different, you know, maybe different gender, different race, a different country, different experience each time, to learn all of the lessons we need to learn to become God. And it's like graduation when you finally get to the end of, you know, you ever meet someone, you're like, oh, you're such an old soul. Well, literally, maybe they are. Maybe they're like at the later journey of their life. They're just like back for one final lesson, and then they've totally graduated to a godlike state where they don't need to be human anymore. They've achieved everything. And I think it's hard for people to follow this belief, because in a lot of these books about reincarnation I've read, what they talk about is really choosing your own family. When you decide, when you're like in heaven and you're in this limbo place, you decide, I want to go back. I want to go back now to learn the lesson of independence or whatever it is. You choose your family, and you choose specifically what to be born into. Now, a lot of people would argue like that's absolute crap. You're saying that people choose to be poor and abused, and it's like, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to say this is like my life's work. It's just a hobby of mine. I'm very interested in death and reincarnation, but I do think there's a lot of truth in that. And I do think we choose our own struggles. We choose, I'm going to go back to Earth. Yeah, I'm going to have like an alcoholic dad who's a total dick, but like it's to teach me this one lesson that I'm not evolved here yet. And then when we finally get through all of the different lives, we've learned everything we learn, we become a god. And then one of the things the book talks about is you then have the choice to return to Earth as an angel, which I think is really cool. So if you've ever met someone in your life who like just came out of nowhere and like saved your life, and then like, who were they? I mean, we do hear stories about that. These weird figures who don't really exist, but are just like helpers. Oh man, it's cool. It's cool to think about and to talk about. So I kind of think that's the meaning of life. I think we're all human because we have human lessons left to learn, but we're all heading towards that godlike state. We're all trying to achieve nirvana, and this is how we do it, through multiple lives.
That sounds brilliant.
Thank you. I hope I articulated that well. I'm just,
yeah,
it's a side hobby. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what kind of people do you want to talk to? What kind of people work with your business well? Who should we invite to come and chat to you?
Oh, that's a great question. So, I mean, it really varies. I always am very fond of like anyone who has a product that they're trying to get off the ground that's easily marketable on social media. So for example, a lot of the endpoints we have available for distribution on products are millennial pages. So we do really well with like fun, like millennial card games, different gay gifts, those sort of products. But it's like really anything. Anyone who has a product or service they're trying to get off the ground, we can come up with a creative proposal for it, and we can get you sales and traffic online. So anyone with a budget, I guess.
Anyone with a budget. That sounds really good. Okay. Yeah. So I won't ask, I mean, I'll put the details on the page so that people I guess.
Yeah, I would say literally anyone who is feeling overwhelmed with the frustrating and confusing social media landscape, who just feels like, you know, I'm trying to maximize my business online, but this just isn't really my thing. I don't understand ads. I don't understand content. When am I supposed to post? We do all that for you. So like if that's where you're at, if you need content for your blog or your brand or your product, that's really where Margul shines and where we come in.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. Is that the best place to connect with you? Or LinkedIn?
LinkedIn. You can visit the website, www.margulmedia.com. You can email me personally. My email's on my LinkedIn. Yeah, so I think that'd be good.
That sounds good. So, Shay, thank you so much for your time today. It has been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure being on the show.
That's great. So thank you very much, and maybe we'll talk again sometime. All the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Paul.
Cheers. So that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Shay Rowbottom. You can get in touch with Shay at margulmedia.com and, of course, on LinkedIn. And all of those links and details will be on the podcast website at lifepassionandbusiness.com. So thank you for listening. And while I have your attention, did you check out this little podcast short this week, The Morning Routines? I would love to know your thoughts. Was it useful? Comments on the Facebook page, please. Are you listening from Apple land? Can I ask you to give us a rating? Those little stars are so very useful, and they raise our profile on the Apple and other platforms who share that data. Thank you for listening. As ever, I appreciate your time and attention, and I will catch you later.